I am actually 9 months pregnant. And all I can say is my due date is February 22nd, which is my husband's birthday. And thank God there are no Flyers games on. Closer. Okay. No Flyers games and no Eagles games, because he would be right with Dave. He was the guy screaming, "Go Birds!" So anyway, I have a story to tell about my own experience of stalking, and actually it was very successful. And in fact, even though it is technically stalking, I like to think of it as gentle persistence. Because that's truly what it was. So let me first start by telling you a little bit about myself. I grew up in Philadelphia. My father is a police officer, and my mother is a nurse. And I was born and raised in a very, you know, middle-class, row home, Philly area where you just kind of, you know, grow up, do your thing in the neighborhood. And my parents were very much advocates for school. My father used to buy Ivy League sweatshirts for me and make me wear Harvard sweatshirts in Philadelphia. And I would, you know, wear these sweatshirts, and he was always looking out for the schools. He never wanted me to go to the neighborhood school. He had to send me to the magnet school. So I would wear my Harvard sweatshirts or my Penn State or my whatever university sweatshirts, and I would take buses and subways to get to schools. And needless to say, I was really a dork. There's just no getting around it. I always was. I always have been. It was kind of like I was born in the wrong decade. Instead of being out on the corner with my friends in Philly, I'd be at home baking chocolate chip cookies listening to Paul Simon and Peter, Paul and Mary. And my husband knows I still prefer that, actually, now, today as well. So I went to the magnet schools, and middle school passes, and high school rolls around. So it's the fall of 1991, and thank goodness I had realized to take the Harvard sweatshirt off by high school. So I'm getting ready to get onto the 18 bus, which is the bus that would carry me from my little neighborhood of Fox Chase down through all the other neighborhoods and to the campus of Central High School, where I went to school. So it's the first day of school, and I'm riding the bus, and I'm just like sitting there ready to go to high school and watching everybody get on the bus and wondering, who will be going to school with me today? I mean, seriously, this is what's going through my head. And we get a few neighborhoods down past Fox Chase into Alleyne. I come from where all the cops and the firefighters live, and Alleyne is, you know, where all the tough kids live. And onto the bus steps this boy. He's absolutely beautiful, and he's got this short little haircut, and he's wearing overalls with one of the straps down. Anybody remember that? And he's got the word pal written on the leg. He was absolutely adorable, and I immediately take notice of him, and I think, oh yeah, he's cute. You know, I didn't think anything of it, but as I ride the bus every single day, I see him, he gets on the bus, he's got his Walkman on, and, you know, I position myself strategically to be able to say good morning to him every day. And I do, I say good morning to him every day. I figure out his name is Brian, and I'm like, hi, Brian! And he proceeds to walk past me every single day and doesn't even look in my direction. So I figure, whatever, it's no big deal, you know, whatever, I see him every day, I'm get happy when I see him. And I kind of told one of my best friends at the time, I said, the guy I'm going to marry, he's on the 18 bus. I just know this is him. There's something in his eyes. I've got to get to know him. So she says, whatever, Andrea, he's, you know, all the girls like him. He's totally out of your league. Whatever. Forget about him. So a year rolls by, and I say hi every day, and he doesn't really notice me. So we fast forward into the summer. I'm making my cookies, listening to Peter, Paul, Mary. And fall 1992 rolls around, get on the 18 bus, and, you know, I'm like, oh, I wonder if Brian's going to get on. So we get down to Alleyne, and onto the bus walks Eddie Vedder. Instead of the boy in the overalls, here comes this, like, guy who grew 5 inches over the summer with hair like this in his face. And he's got this huge, you know, flannel jacket and these jeans with holes ripped in them and these big combat boots, and I'm totally in love now. I mean, you couldn't have found a more opposite guy than me. I think I was wearing penny loafers at the time, whatever. Well, Brian was still on the bus, so of course I'm like, hey, Brian, how was your summer? Still, he walks right past. I think he did this once. So whatever, I'm just excited he's still on the bus. So, sixth period rolls around, and I, of course, am at class 5 minutes early, and I'm sitting there waiting, and Miss Solomon, the English teacher, comes in, and class starts, and I'm listening and nodding my head, and, you know, 10 minutes after the bell rings, in strolls Brian. So he throws his book bag down, his Walkman, and he opens up, like, the Lord of the Rings or something like that, and he's reading, and he's totally cocky and totally just not with where the rest of us are in class. But every time the teacher asks him a question, he always gets it right, and I'm just in love with this kid. So half a year goes by. I'm still saying hi to him every day. I'm getting no response. And then a miracle happens. The heater breaks. The heater breaks, and we have to move from our classroom on the first floor to a classroom on the third floor. And Mrs. Solomon seats me directly next to him. And now there's absolutely no way that he can escape. I vaguely remember I just tortured him. Hey, Brian, how are you? You know, just always asking him questions. And I eventually started seeing him, like, the corners of his mouth turning up. And he was smiling. But so anyway, the end of the year rolls around. I think I'm getting there. But, you know, I didn't get a phone number. He didn't seem to really care very much, but still, I was gently persisting. So, anyway, another summer passes, and junior year rolls around. I get on the bus, and Brian was not on the bus. So I was a little bit nervous about this, and being the nerd that I was and still am, I actually was the disciplinarian's aide. So I had access to all the school rosters. I looked up Brian's roster, and I actually wrote it all down. I carried it with me, and for about 2 weeks, I would accidentally show up right where, you know, his classes were exchanging, and I'd wave to him in the hallway, and I still got no response. So one day, I was ruminating, you know, thinking about all of this, and I said, you know, it's all or nothing now, Andrea, let's just do it. So I write him this letter, and I still remember it said, Dear Brian, I had English class with you last year, and I think you're a really smart guy. I'd love to hang out and talk with you. And I hand him this letter, and I get no response. 2 weeks later, I think, you know what, forget it. I tried. I gave it my best. I mean, 3 years, 100%, wrote the note, whatever. And so 2 weeks later, I'm walking down the hall, and I get hit in the head with this rubber band ball. And I'm looking around, and there it is on the floor, and I pick it up, and in the rubber band ball is a note that says, hey, wanna go to a party? And it was from Brian. So, of course, I was like, yes, let's go to a party. So, actually, we have been inseparable ever since that party on Halloween, and he's been my best friend ever since. And the beauty of the gentle persistence is that, you know, we've been through many years together. We met when we were, well, I stalked him when we were 15. We were a little bit older when we started dating, but we, you know, we went through college together. We've been through lots of ups and downs together. But the most incredible gift that Brian has given me, aside from so many amazing stories and, like, unconventional love and everything, the biggest gift that he's given me is his gentle persistence, because I guess it was 3 years into, no, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, about a year into our marriage, I got diagnosed with pretty severe back disability, and one of the discs had completely disintegrated, and I was in a walker and, like, a full body brace, totally dorky. But we didn't think there was going to be a cure. We tried everything. we tried acupuncture, you know, different doctors, chiropractors, this, that, the other thing. And it was his gentle persistence that kept me putting one foot in front of the other. And at a point where many other men would have left, or vice versa, he took that vow for better or for worse, and he really meant it. And I can't thank him enough for that. So really, the beauty of our story is that neither of us is ever going to get rid of each other. And the miracle of it all is that after all of that gentle persistence, we are actually going to have our first baby. So I love you.